Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Am I the most handiest of men? No.
I was going to ask
Clearly
that about
Clearly, these
also.
Fingers are meant to type.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That was the voice of Nate Taylor of The Athletic in studio with us. Right now, right here, live in the flesh, as we were walking in, Nate said, I think this is the latest I've ever been in this building.
Mm-hmm.
Is it weird, Nate, to just be here with me, Beards, and the ghosts that float through these halls?
And the stars.
And the stars outside.
And a nice full moon. A little, but hey, that's what the playoffs are for. And, I mean, why not give the people what they want? Because clearly they want the two of us to talk with microphones involved.
Yes. This is all people ever ask me for anymore. It's like, this is fine, but... Where's Nate?
To make fun of Seth.
And yes, whenever, at any place possible, any time possible, if you are looking for more me, Nate, and Seth, Times Ours podcast up on The Athletic is one of the things the three of us all do together. We'll have one tomorrow morning for subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
But we're giving you some of that free goodness right now. No paywall on this radio show. No siree. What is it, Beards?
So what you're saying is that you want me to play Seth Kaiser liners coming back from the next two breaks just
that.
To make fun of him.
Yes.
Of course. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
I can do that.
That common thread is perfect. You can also, of course, read all of Nate's reporting on The Athletic and follow him on Twitter at by Nate Taylor. There's a handful of places that we could begin here, Nate. The list is ever growing. The news of the day is in the limitations of the day. Chris Jones pops up as a limited participant in practice. I didn't hear anything out at Arrowhead today that indicated that was happening. So were you surprised whenever that came out from the Chiefs that he was limited today?
Yeah, because at no point has he had an issue since he came back, I think it was against the Minnesota Vikings in early November. So clearly he's important to the defense. He did not play in the October matchup against the Houston Texans. Kind of need Chris Jones to be in uniform, fully healthy. So I imagine the treatment schedule is now.
Yes.
An hour from now.
Yes.
2 hours from now. 7 a.m.,
yep.
9:30,
yep.
11, whatever defensive meetings you have, and then hopefully he practices as a full participant. But what I always try to tell fans and our listeners is that Wednesday and Thursday are the most important days of a week. Friday is much about, okay, here are the last situational football that we do. Here are, you know, it's like Andy, at least for Andy's sake, I should say, with an Andy Reid-led team, Wednesdays and Thursdays are the most important because Friday he sort of slims things down. It's less time on the field. It's more situational stuff. Like, they do red zone, I believe, on Fridays. They may do some third down stuff. Hey, if we do something, you know, tricky or a little weird on special teams,
we may
approach that on Friday as well through Dave Tobe. And Saturday is a walkthrough, and then basically you play the game on Sunday. But in terms of install, game planning, here are the meat and potatoes of what we're going to try to do against our opponent. It's Wednesdays and Thursdays. So that him being limited is not a good sign when he had no injury designation before today.
With that and because of that, like, does it make you more squeamish about Chris Jones than you would be for Travis Kelce? Kelce was limited in practice both of these last 2 days with a knee.
Yes.
Not ideal. Not your favorite thing in the world, but... This seems to not be a surprise. Showing up midweek for the first time, it's not my favorite.
Yeah, I would say Chris Jones is an issue versus Travis Kelce just because watching practice with my own eyes today, even though it was 100 yards down a field, because they do all the stretching and individual stuff, at least for the tight ends, the farthest away. And by the way, we can't have binoculars. You can't not have anything to improve your eyesight. But
we got to get Snapchat's glasses to, like, step up a notch because this is ridiculous.
What was the thing that Google came out with?
Google Glass.
We get a couple of those.
We were talking on Tuesday, I think, about, did you see, this is a very on-brand little switcheroo by us. Did you see the thing that Samsung released a couple of days ago, Bali? Go ahead and Google Bali, B-A-L-L-I-E. It is a tennis ball sized and colored and shaped little robot that will follow you around through your house and do things like open up your blinds and turn on your TV and
it's
stuff.
It's basically BB-8.
It's basically a smaller BB-8, except for it's like literally designed for your dog to bleep it up. Like, it looks like it's begging some big dog to consume it.
Because you mentioned tennis ball, I literally now want to pick it up and like serve it across the net. Right. Look at this thing. What?
It's the little video for it is a perfect synthesis.
It's a tennis ball.
It's a tennis ball.
Holy! And it's like most of the images that I'm seeing on Google are in the color a tennis ball usually is.
Yeah.
What are we doing, guys?
It's really confusing. But it's the video. You click the video on
there's
mute,
a promotional
whatever.
Video you need to watch.
You should, because it is a beautiful synthesis of Star Wars and Black Mirror. Where it's like, I don't know if this is a cute little droid that I simply need in my life, or if this will be the thing that kills me. It's a 1-to-1 ratio.
What you're telling me is that it's going to roll up to you, beep, 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 the door closes where you are, there's nobody in there, mm-hmm. and you just suffocate for the rest of time.
That's possible.
with nobody to help you.
They do have different colors, which makes it even more confusing. Launch with the yellow.
I've seen blue, I've seen green, but the predominant color is yellow. Needless to say, we need to improve our eyesight, and I'm sure Bali's going to do that.
Well, here's the thing. The reason this came up for me just now was we were talking about, I'll take any technology. Like, I'm ready. Apple can have my face. Google can have my fingerprints. Samsung can have whatever. And DNA samples to get me
Disney
a little droid.
Disney has my fingerprint.
Yeah, Disney, take it all. Like, if you're one of these big corporations, Amazon knows where I am 24/7, and I'm just sort of at a point where if Jeff Bezos wants me dead, I'm already dead. Like,
yeah, there's already a drone that he can
hit the
code.
Yeah.
I also find it much, much difficult in life to know that Apple is so ballsy now,
mm-hmm.
along with Samsung's Bali, that they are now promoting slow fees?
Oh yeah. Yeah, the slow-mo selfies.
That look terrible.
Who needs that? Who was asking for that?
Who is that random dude with the sprinkler on thinking he's Miss Hot Thing? I have to watch it every commercial break.
Yes. Every three commercials during a football game,
Apple,
is that man in the sprinkler.
Stop it.
Stop it. But the only thing that I'm not willing to take is Google Glass, apparently, because it looks too bad.
It was dead on arrival when it showed up.
It sure was.
But
maybe NFL reporters, maybe that's the demographic they needed.
Maybe. But Travis Kelce bent his knee and ran and moved.
That's where he was.
Similar to everything I've seen earlier this season. And Kelsey's been pretty blunt about, like, hey, one of the reasons why I'm so durable is I know exactly what my body needs or what I need to do with my body to manage it over the course of the season. He takes some pretty big hits, and he always seems to know how to absorb them. So I'm not really concerned about Travis Kelce. I am concerned about this Bali and Chris Jones' calf.
Yes.
And which calf? Is the left, right?
It's just calf. I could have, as far as the injury report would say.
I hate the NFL for that. Because in the NBA, they kind of tell you, oh, it was his right knee, or it was his right ankle, or, you know, right shoulder, shooting shoulder, you know.
And then in hockey, it's just like, lower bodies, lower extremities.
But I just saw his teeth come out. Yes, his face. His whole face is messed up.
His face is kind of, sort of gone. I know that's an upsetting thing to say.
He'll be back in the next period.
But yes, he'll be back. He's going to go get 46 stitches, and he'll be back in 7 minutes. What? Yeah, you heard me. It's fun, though. Like, this is, being in playoff mode is fun. We were talking a little bit earlier this week about, like, what if they lose? what if the Chiefs lose? This season's gone by so fast.
I don't
want to
think
about
that.
I don't either. Because that, dude, this season has been so quick, and this offseason took so damn long.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was with the AFC Championship game. You weren't like, you know, the Oakland Raiders who were like, mm-hmm. we need to start getting crazy immediately.
Right. No, it was a long season by numbers last year,
mm-hmm.
the longest the Chiefs have had in my lifetime, and Still, I'm convinced that I spent more time in St. Joe than I've spent out of St. Joe. I don't know why time has worked that way for me.
There was like a particular player this past offseason who made my offseason not really off.
That was this offseason.
I mean,
how does that feel so long ago?
I'll never forget the summer of 2019. Never.
Oh, man. Yeah, that all happened.
Yeah. But I get your point. The idea of, like, you spend 17 weeks going on 18 where this team really has something that they can offer in terms of discussion and interest. You have the league MVP. You have a Hall of Fame head coach who still needs to win a championship. Brett Veach is still trying to make moves, even though it's the divisional round, and you literally can't make moves, Brett.
you literally can't. It's like, we're signing somebody to a futures deal. I have to. Something has to happen.
You know, Steve Spagnuolo was brought in to beat the Patriots, who they won't play all postseason.
Yeah.
There are so many things to discuss, and for me as a writer and a reporter, there's so many things I feel like I can still want to get to.
Yeah.
So more games has been official for all of us.
Yes.
I explained to my friends in my small group at church, and my buddy Scott, and they all asked, what was it like? Because, you know, we hadn't been in Arrowhead since the regular season finale.
Right.
And we talked about this on Times Ours. It was literally like winning a mini Super Bowl. I can't stress that enough. Not every game where the players and the organization and the media corps align.
Yes.
In perfect matrimony.
Yes.
Thank God we didn't play last week, and
yes,
that you have more games and there's a chance of maybe going to the Super Bowl, because there's so many stories to do. And I always say that we've gotten to the point now, Josh, where we're in the storybook portion of the season.
Yeah.
Where you start reviewing everybody's yearbook.
Yep.
And it's just like, oh, like, you know, name a player. I can give you everything from, you know, the offseason to now. Even the player I haven't mentioned by name who dominated most of the offseason. He has a story that would get wildly riveting if they were to find their way into Miami for the Super Bowl. So I don't really want the games to end, because this season is so different. And at the same time, don't we all want Lamar versus Patrick?
So badly. I would like that so very much.
I mean, no disrespect to Deshaun. Deshaun's great.
Yeah.
He is literally rising an entire franchise on his shoulders.
100%.
Kind of want to see reigning MVP versus next MVP.
Would like him to go away. If you don't mind.
Quietly.
Now, you know what? He can go out with a bang if he wants. If this game's 42-38, we're going to have some questions the next week about Spags, I'm sure. But you know what? I'm here for 42-38, if that's what it takes. I just would like to see Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers?
Or Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson would be pretty fun.
That'd be great.
Jimmy G, I could give or take. But, you know, Kirk Cousins, no thank you.
I'm so excited to watch Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins barf and vomit all over themselves in a 3-hour game where it's like, oh my God, this is kind of for the NFC. Did you know this game was for the NFC Championship? Holy smokes, I've never been here before. I'm kind of excited for that.
I am too. I will not be nearly as excited if the Super Bowl ends up being Tannehill Cousins. I mean,
I'm sorry, but like the ad revenue for Super Bowl commercials,
they'd be giving them away.
The league would be like, look, can we get a couple more dollars from you?
I'm not a conspiracy theorist in general and specifically for the NFL.
Tannehill Cousins.
But if it's looking like Tannehill Cousins, or, I think maybe a call comes down from up on high.
Honestly, the marquee would be like, have you heard of Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry?
We're establishing the run in this Super Bowl. Time of possession bowl. Let's do it. 7-3.
Yeah, so.
Titans, I guess.
Oh, so, yeah, man. The more I think about it in terms of Sunday's game between the Chiefs and Texans, I'm finding less opportunities, less ways for the Texans to win.
Interesting.
Outside of just calamity.
Right.
I mean, Chris Jones coming down with a weird injury on Thursday wasn't in my checklist, but
nope, that's calamitous.
Could be in the Texans' favor. I mean, I don't know. The Chiefs got a lot of weapons, and the Texans don't really tackle well.
Yeah, that's a bad combo.
Yeah, and how many times has Deshaun Watson sacked? Was it seven?
It was it happened quite a few times. By the way, calamitous is a real word. I wasn't sure.
And I think the Chiefs have a better pass rush than the Buffalo Bills. Because they had to blitz in order to get to Watson.
Right. And, you know, without Chris Jones, who knows? We don't know that. That was a joke. But with that in mind, something we also we've talked about a little bit, and we'll probably talk about on tomorrow's Times Are on The Athletic. Get it wherever, get in the Athletic app, and Mondays or wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe.
You can subscribe it, theathletic.com/timesours. Let's keep Nate employed here, everybody. I'm having a good time, but this is Nate's livelihood, you know? I got this.
Food must be on the table.
Gotta feed the kid. With the pressure that they being everyone has gotten on Deshaun Watson this year, like they go out and like get Laremy Tunsil, and it's like, hey man, like we thought this was gonna fix it, right. And it kind of didn't. It does seem like Bill O'Brien isn't, I don't know, super interested in keeping Deshaun Watson on his 2 feet. It's like, hey, can you throw passes on 1 foot while like doing a pirouette, being hit by 2 defenders at once? Can you do that and then maybe also get kicked in the eye at some point
you
and
can't?
Throw a touchdown?
Why not?
Here's the thing, Beards. He can. He can, actually, because he's Deshaun Watson. That's just the thing that he does now.
He'll be flexing all the way to his death.
Yes, to his early grave.
He'll be doing this.
Yes, he's going to.
While being in a hospital 3 hours later.
He's going.
That's how the body cast looks?
Yes, that's 100% right. He will be in a body cast to 10-6 and 11-5 seasons until he simply can't take it anymore, and he Andrew Luck on the Texans.
Have they heard of a thing called a hot route?
This is the thing. This is what I wanted to ask you about. It's just 4 verts, and most of them are pretty far downfield. Deshaun, just don't get hit.
Figure it out.
Don't get hit, and then throw it downfield. Ready?
Great. Go.
Like, all right. Hey, Bill. I'm running the wrong way, Bill. Is this what you wanted? Are you happy?
Or it's like, hey, we're down 16-0. We're running all 4 verts,
yep.
And you really can't throw the ball out of bounds as you scramble to
yep.
save your own body.
Yep.
Because we're down 16-0.
Yes, you're gonna need to just stand in there.
So hang tough.
I'm gonna literally put you on a little pedestal and just let them throw their helmets at you if that's what it takes.
So I watched NFL's Turning Point, which was on, I believe, Fox Sports 1 yesterday. And they're like, you know, and Deshaun Watson had the turning point of the game when he bounced off 2 human beings running at him full speed.
It's incredible.
And they discuss the play, and it's like, his initial read was for DeAndre Hopkins. I'm like, very
yes,
good. Let's
good.
Go.
Good. So far, so good, Bill.
In the slot, right. Okay. But why is he running towards the end zone when it's zero coverage?
Yeah.
And Deshaun's like, oh, yeah, on the play, I saw zero coverage. I saw them coming. I checked the line to go to my right because I felt I could get the pass off before the backside cornerback blitzes. Meanwhile, DeAndre Hopkins is not running a hot route
nope.
as if it's not cover zero.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason he completes the pass, and they show this on NFL Turning Point, although the announcer does not mention this, the only reason why the running back gets the ball is because he misses his block off the zero protection and just kind of like drifts into the flat. Just like, well, I guess I could be here.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the ball's at him and he's like, the Bills are like, but you aren't supposed to be here because we blitzed and running backs block when we blitz.
Right.
What are you doing? Hey, we're going to lose the game because of this? So it was one of the more like NFL turning point, like let's break down this play. And it's like the quarterback knew what was going on and everybody else failed him. His offensive line,
yep.
his best receiver didn't understand the coverage and just kept running 15 yards downfield. Mm-hmm. Although he did block White, which allowed them to get all the way down to the red zone. But by and large, like he should have been sacked because like his top
yes.
receiver wasn't running the proper route or didn't adjust or didn't see
yep.
what Deshaun Watson
read
saw.
It wrong, whatever. Yep.
And then his coach put him in the wrong play and they still succeeded. And everyone's like, wow, Deshaun Watson, he's great.
That's kind of his thing. Is every single piece around him is like, I don't know. And he's like, all right, bleep it. Touch like here, first down, touchdown, kick me in the eye, whatever. Like it's just it's insane.
Right, I forgot about that play where it was against the Raiders where the Raiders
yeah.
are like,
yep.
no, we sacked him.
Yeah.
And then once he left our hands,
yeah.
I kicked him in the face. And he still threw a touchdown.
And he threw a TD. With his eye swelled shut for the next 2 weeks.
I mean, all praise to Deshaun.
He's great.
But, oh.
And he's the third best quarterback in the AFC right now.
Well, because he's supported as such.
Right, that's fair, actually. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I have to imagine that with all of that calamity, as we will continue, I'm going to use the word calamity as much as possible tonight.
Yes.
I got to think Steve Spagnuolo is, like, pretty jacked about everything that the Texans have not done to make Deshaun Watson's life easier. Like, for all of the storylines that we've had about this Chiefs defense all year, this feels like a time where Spags can just be like, yeah, you guys got it right. I should be here. This defense has been getting better and better. It's been doing everything you've been asking from us. But today, we're going to make Deshaun Watson's life a living nightmare
yeah.
that they cannot bail him out from.
Mm-hmm. And look, he still is capable of throwing interceptions. As great as he is,
yeah.
he will be risky with the ball. If you get a big lead, are you more prone to blitz if you have better secondary behind you? Chiefs have a pretty good secondary, mm-hmm. even with Juan Thornhill's injury. Mm-hmm. And I also think, too, for like Spagnuolo, this is weird, but in some ways, you would almost want the Texans to like wake up and be like, there's this thing called a screen pass. They never run it.
Yeah.
And run it? Because like, if a team's going to blitz you, like the screen game can work in your
sure.
favor. But no, Bill O'Brien probably won't do that.
He probably won't.
He probably will RPO it to death yep. and try to get to the outside and let Deshaun run around. But again, that opens your quarterback to some hits, as we saw last week with Carson Wentz. So, I mean, if you're asking me who do I trust with the game plan, it's probably Steve Spagnuolo, a guy who beat the Patriots when they were undefeated.
Yeah.
I mean, who figures out what you do well, whether it's one, two, three different things, and at least will try to take one of those things away.
While somehow also never fully knowing what time it is, and in many cases what day it is. He's a national treasure. Beards, this is you have to have this for next segment. I need you to open Steve Spagnuolo's entire press conference from today. And I heard earlier that the beginning of it does contain it's just a little one. Today wasn't the biggest Spags energy we've ever had. But just about every one of his pressers starts basically the same way. He walks out at 11:55 and he doesn't know how to start the press conference.
All right.
It's wonderful.
All right, I'm pulling it up here.
Great morning. Good afternoon. I don't know what time it is. What day is it?
Who do we play? Thursday? Listen, I'll say this.
Look, I'm not really worried about the last game. We're just on to the Texans. So with that, I'll open up.
Looks down at a note yes. card that just says Texans on it. Listen, we're on to the looks down. Texans.
But then you ask him questions about, well, hey, against the Chargers, the last game the Chiefs play, like, oh, what a tournament. And then he'll, so like on that play, we thought this, and like, oh, we moved Kendall around. Oh, you saw that?
Oh,
they got cameras.
We did.
You weren't supposed to know that Kendall Fuller's designation says cornerback, sir.
Yeah.
Why are you asking me about how he plays safety? I'm trying to keep this under reps. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Has cameras. They broadcast it on live TV. They got thousands of people in the stands. We can't change his jersey, though, right? He can't change his name on the jersey? All right, well, I guess Kendall Fuller is playing safety. All right, to answer your question.
All right, he's a safety. He's a safety. All right, fine. Armani.
Do you remember that for like three straight weeks? He was like, Kendall Fuller, safety?
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
In training camp, I said he was a slot corner. I don't know. That's not what safeties do. Yeah, this was Spags just today, like the first 10 seconds.
Afternoon, I think, right? I'll just start out saying Happy New Year to everybody. That would be the first thing. The second thing would be is it's really good to be working in January. Or actively working, I should say, because we'd be working. But with that, I'll just open it up.
Boom. Perfect. Beards, you cannot find that. You cannot open enough Spagnuolo press conferences for the rest of this hour.
He said Happy New Year on January 9th.
I didn't even get that. I was just hoping that he was going to say, anyway, Happy New Year. Really looking forward to everything that comes in this year, 2017, 2018. What year is it?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Listen, I know it's 2020. I'm personally already on the 2021. Armani, he also, with consistency, calls Rashad Breeland Breezy.
Breezy.
And I love it
much. It is his rap name.
And he just says that's just where Spags' head is at. He's a national treasure.
Remember, he used to call you a very C-Dub.
C-Dub.
Yeah, C-Dub.
C-Dub. Like Breezy.
He's really got the language down, the lingo.
Yeah, yeah, he's 100%
you know,
in.
You know, to be a cornerback, you have to be a certain type of human being in the National Football League.
I
kind of make them in one distinct way.
What way is that, Nate? Fast?
I mean, you got to have swag. You got to have a persona. That's true.
You gotta have a nickname.
You gotta have a nickname.
I mean, Dirty Dan.
the times I've thought about what it's like to be Daniel Sorensen in a DB culture that does not exhibit the values and culture of BYU, just I believe where he played college football. It's one of the more interpersonal studies I would love to do in my profession, but don't have the time.
I think you could probably get that okay during the off season, right?
I'm sure Daniel Sorensen would love to talk to me about what it's like.
If he didn't have Dirty Dan, he would not be in the league. Has Spagnuolo ever called him Dirty Dan? You gotta check on this.
I don't think he has, sadly.
Does Steve Spagnuolo respect Dan Sorensen's nickname? Has anyone ever asked him about Dan Sorensen? It just kind of feels like we all know. Like, we know where he's supposed to be, what he's good at, what he's not. He's been around long enough. We've all seen it.
I mean,
we can ask him about Breezy.
Look, I don't know what the street. I don't know what the streets are like in Riverside, California, because that's where Daniel Sorensen grew up. But clearly, he chose BYU.
Right.
And he's here with the Honey Badger, C-Dub, Breezy, Mo Claiborne, Mo.
Listen, as John Beilein would say, he didn't choose the slug life. The slug life chose him.
Because, you know, we always get those words confused. I mean, we're just sluggish is what I'm trying to say.
Sluggish. Like a bunch of pugs. How did he not go to pugs? That's perfect. You guys are playing like you have a breathing problem.
And your face is all messed up.
Puggish. It's Nate Taylor of The Athletic. I don't know what we're going to talk about whenever we come back. It might have something to do with the Chiefs. I don't know. It's up to me.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Every Chiefs fan has been waiting on pins and needles for this question to be asked to Seth Kizer. What was that, Seth?
What? Nothing. Nothing.
What did he say? What did he say, Beard?
I said, hang on, let me finish putting on my pants first.
What?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Why were you not wearing pants at 5:01 today?
I work from home, bro.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Why did he feel the need to put pants on at 5:01? Another question I probably could have asked.
Maybe the business was already handled.
That's Nate Taylor of The Athletic with us here. Almost Entirely Sports. He's here for the rest of the hour. We're going to be here till 9. You think it's weird being here when it's dark out at all, Nate? Imagine what it feels like to be here when it's dark out, getting ready to start a show at like 6:35, 6:40, right around then. Sun's gone, pitch black. The energy in this whole building is very different right now. But I'm glad that you're here to help us fix it.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here. And look, you know, I think we did it for crops back in the day with daylight saving time.
Right.
And
we could stop.
We're
good.
We're now exporting Coca-Cola to like every country on the man. So what are we doing? I mean,
how much daylight do you need for Coca-Cola? Are we good now?
Like our biggest export is literally Coca-Cola.
Is it actually?
Yeah, I think so. In terms of corporations that massively produce something and then sit it out. It ain't beef or soy or corn anymore. It's literally, come get this corn syrup Coca-Cola. Not that there's anything wrong with Coca-Cola.
It's delicious.
Beards loves it so much. I just Googled it. Beards, can you turn off my microphone turn it up so you can hear me Google this? Coca-Cola is actually our number one export, democracy. It's working flawlessly, if you haven't noticed.
Well, we always, you know, we always say that when you can escalate a situation, Why not escalate it to the most drastic measure known to man? Especially on day two of a new decade. I mean, why not? I mean, all my aides are telling me something the exact opposite. But hey, escalation can sometimes work just as much as de-escalation.
So guys, what does it sound like when I'm doing the show from underneath a jacket so no one can see my face right now on Facebook? Does it sound good? I can't hear if Beards is talking because I accidentally pulled out my headphones.
You sound great. And I'm so glad that you found a way out of that. And I'm so glad I found a way into it and to find a way to get right back out of it.
Which actually pretty much mirrors the conversation you were having. Is how can I hop in and then get back out again? And maybe I'm in it, maybe I'm out again.
Yeah. Although this doesn't involve, you know, lives or anything.
Beard, just let me know when we're back from break and we'll talk about sports and stuff.
2 minutes.
Okay, great. In the meantime, Nate, here's something easy, simple, and something super, I would just say no one's going to have any opinions on it in general. The hell does Eric Bieniemy have to do to get a head coaching job? He talked today, and God bless Seren Petro for fighting the good fight to try to get Eric Bieniemy to say something about the Rooney Rule.
I mean, he got him off his spot.
He did, 100%.
He got him off his spot.
No, Bieniemy had to reset his feet. He didn't fall over, but he definitely had to reset his feet.
Shout out to Seren.
What does he have to do? You wrote an article, a really good article about Bieniemy, and Andy Reid's been cutting absolute promos for him for a month now, and now it's either the Cleveland Browns or run it back with the Chiefs again.
It's rare in the NFL, even in 2019 going into 2020, for a owner, a head coach, and the reigning MVP quarterback of the league to be like, you have to hire this man. For them to literally tell you, to tell me, to tell anyone who will listen, hire one of our best employees away from us.
Yes.
Just do it.
Take him.
He's readily available.
You'll be glad you did.
It's so bizarre. And yet, I think for a number of reasons that involve, I think there's 20, like, I was talking to a buddy of mine who I won't name, but we were going through the scenario of the Rooney Rule and the idea of like, well, you know, the league can't force you to hire somebody. It's up to the team and ownership, and sometimes the general manager, sometimes not. But like, who are the 29 of the 32 teams? What do 29 owners all have in common? Two traits: they're heterosexual and they're of a certain complexion.
I can say it, they're all white.
And there's
20. Is that right? 29 out of 32.
And the way we came to it, we think three owners are at least somewhat advised by women, which is, by the way, kind of better than it used to be.
Yeah, we're moving the right direction on that one.
The right direction.
It's not fast.
It used to be 31 kids.
We're plodding along.
But Miss Benson. And I'm now NFL PR man right now. Miss Benson.
You've gotten the...
In New Orleans.
Nate was not wearing a collared shirt, but then he started having this conversation, and a shirt and a tie appeared just on his torso. Yeah. It was weird.
We got Miss Benson in New Orleans. We got Mrs. Ford in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Miss Allen in Seattle. That's it.
Yeah, that's the list.
How many general managers, because Ozzie Newsome just retired, we only have one general manager that's a certain minority? Already minority? 31 out of 30? 1 out of 32.
It's not a high ratio.
No.
That's reflected in the player base, though, right? 1 in 32?
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know. But literally, the conversation that me and a buddy had was what qualification is left? And I came up with one for Bieniemy. And this is not his fault. It's just sort of the ramifications of what is necessary.
Yeah.
So, hey, former player always works in your favor because the guys will automatically respect you because you understand what it means to play in this league. Be offensive-minded. Usually that gets you a job off the start, off the rip.
Yep.
Be a disciple of Andy Reid. Check that box.
Yep.
Well, you know, running backs don't really get, like, head coaching job straight from that position, although I guess special team coaches do. Or
I literally
special teams
was just
slash receivers coaches where all the receivers stunk this year.
Uh-huh.
But usually running backs don't go from that you know, they're not like quarterback coaches.
Right.
That go from quarterback.
It's not
to
as
head coach.
Common.
Yeah. So, hey, why don't you get to the next level, be offensive coordinator. Great. You were the offensive coordinator of the third most prolific offensive team in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
Averaged 35.3 points last year. It was insane.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how about in year two, you make the reigning MVP quarterback even better? He will turn the ball over less. He will be more fundamentally sound. He'll make better decisions with the football. He will go through all these injuries, and yet you will still win the exact same amount of games you won last year.
Make it work with Matt Moore, who's probably not as good.
Who was coaching high school kids in August.
I don't love Daniel Jones, but I feel like Eric Bieniemy could probably win some football games with Daniel Jones if necessary.
So he's checked
that
off
could happen.
Literally five things I've just mentioned.
Yeah.
And there's one more thing that I think would help him. I don't know if it would immediately get him the job. And I kind of asked it to him today, and I was like, Eric, my blackness has to ask you this on behalf of your blackness.
If you would have asked it verbatim like that, would have been good.
This is about next year, right? Like, we all can acknowledge we're now talking about next year. So what do you have to do between now and next Black Monday? Go in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else he can do. Other than to win a Super Bowl alongside Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And that's it. If he does that, I don't know what else he could do to sort of, you know, and obviously, again, everyone in the building. Clark Hunt has gone on record saying that, like, he thought it was going to happen this offseason.
Yep.
Or this coaching cycle, I should say. So the last hurdle is really one that's, like, he is involved in, but it's not ultimately up to him because, you know, there's other teams and other players and coaches trying to achieve the same thing. But hey, just go win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Then you could say you're a Super Bowl winning offensive coordinator, former player, disciple of Andy Reid, who is running back sound, quarterback sound.
Yes. Who has also gotten, again, that vote from every relevant person. Everybody. Like, listen, I mean
just hire him already. Just Clark Hunt's like, I'm ready for the next OC, baby.
I'll buy his plane ticket. I'll fly him to you. Let's go. Kafka's he'll figure it out. He'll be fine. He'll coach somebody else in your division in 2 years. Yeah. We'll figure it out. This is just how it's gonna go.
Go right, yeah.
I mean, even like if there were even those kind of those whispers that can happen around stuff like this, where like, you know, it seems like some people might not think that this guy's ready for this opportunity or whatever. That kind of stuff can happen. I don't know that happened for Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy. I wasn't around like that then. But I imagine that can pop up. You can have questions about guys on any number of levels. And I don't know what your question about Eric Bieniemy would be at this point. I tweeted today, like, even his answers about how he answered the questions where he said, I don't really want to talk about me not being a head coach. Those answers made me think he would be a good head coach. Like, it kept adding to the list of things.
He motivates players because he was motivating the entire Kansas City media corps towards the end of the press conference.
We're ready to go hit somebody.
Yeah, it's like, I'm focused on today. I have to win today so that we can be ready to win on Sunday. And I can't control what these white men do or don't do with their money and football teams.
Yeah.
We are trying to win. I work for a great head coach. I work for a great owner. I got the reigning MVP. So I'm going to just go out here and try to win the Super Bowl and make everybody look dumb. That is in Carolina, New York. I mean, Dallas didn't even. What was Dallas? I don't even know. I mean, whatever. But like, but what did Dallas trumpet? This guy's won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of matters.
Yeah,
I mean, and
that's,
and that's no disrespect to McCartney, but like, Aaron Rodgers didn't like you.
Yeah. They did not.
Kind of want your quarterback to like you,
mm-hmm.
especially if he's that good.
Mm-hmm.
But when they did get along, they won a Super Bowl. And Eric Bieniemy can't say that in an interview. He mentioned how depressing it sounded to me, even though it's his own career, that he was, you know, he was like the backup running back for the San Diego Chargers in the 1994 going into 1995 Super Bowl against the 49ers, where everybody knew they were going to get waxed.
Right.
And Eric was just like, hey, but this was like a stepping stone. We're just going to get back to the Super Bowl next year, 2 years from now. Like, we got something cooking here in San Diego. He was playing for the Cincinnati Bengals 2 years later.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
Yeah.
and he's never gotten closer than last year's AFC Championship game.
It was very sad.
Yeah.
It was like he was telling a sad story.
I remember, look, I watched primetime with my dad, and I remember sleeping with Eric Bieniemy. I remember the whole jokes. I remember watching him.
What was that sentence? Beards and I looked at each other because I feel like the sentence you said was like, we'll play it back later. It's fine.
Yeah, Chris,
it's fine.
Chris Berman, you know, ESPN legend.
Yes.
In his greatness of nicknames, said Eric sleeping with the enemy.
Got it. It was a pun on sleeping with the enemy. I got it.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
I was, you said it real fast. Beards and I both got knocked off of our spots. Wait, what? He was what? What was?
Just Google
We're
it.
Good.
Just Google.
No, I mean, I get it now.
Just YouTube 1990s Chris Berman, Eric Bieniemy highlights. Because
they're kind of amazing.
But,
okay.
But like,
good to know.
Eric Bieniemy is somehow been a part of my life for like the majority of my life.
Right.
And it's just sad that he was just like, yeah, I can't tell an owner I've won the Super Bowl. When an owner kind of wants to hear that before they give a black man the chance to run an NFL team.
Yeah.
Just, you know, these are the things that are necessary. Brian Flores could go to Stephen Ross and say, look, you see that guy? He's been kicking your for 20 years. Who? Hey, let me show you a picture. Who's the guy standing next to that guy? That would be me.
Oh, that's me.
That would be me.
I'm the captain now of your bad team.
How many rings am I putting in your face right now? Okay, I'm Brian Flores. I deserve a head coaching job.
By the way, Nate, you can say butt on the radio. It's okay.
Okay. Kicking their butts.
Still won't do it.
For 2 decades.
Listen, Joe Judge is a 3-time Super Bowl champion. So you
and
can
what
just...
do you think Joe Judge said to the Mara family? I'm out here getting chips.
I think he had one on each middle finger and then a mystery third one somewhere.
Have I told you about Matthew Slater and how he's the greatest special teams player of all time? Under my tutelage.
I did that.
Do you want 53 Matthew Slaters? Because I can get you 53 Matthew Slaters in a New York Giants uniform. I will now sign a contract and my pen is clickety-clicking.
It's
I mean, this is
Matthew
all in fun
Slater's
and
the...
joking, but it's kind of dripped in, like, reality?
Yeah, no, I think you could say that it's either all reality and dripped in fun, or it's all fun dripped in reality. I think both of those are pretty much equally true. All right, we're going to have a nice little palate cleanser because we're going to come back and we're going to listen to Steve Spagnuolo and not know what time it is.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
The Raiders are closing in on a 1-year deal with Martavis Bryant. You may say, wait a second. The same Martavis Bryant that they... Yeah, I know him. The Raiders are one game in, and they're already bringing in a receiver
what?
That could be... Yeah, could be suspended for a year. Also recently released.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
One more segment with Nate Taylor of The Athletic with us here. Sort of previewing Chiefs-Texans. Sort of talking about Eric Bieniemy and... Chris Jones and everything all at once. Nate, thank you for coming in again on this beautiful Thursday night?
Thursday night. Crisp night. Thursday.
It was so nice today.
It was,
and
man.
It's going to be like
brutal.
16 degrees tomorrow. We're bleeped. Beards, can we get, did you make a supercut of Steve Spagnuolo or just some
no,
press
I just
conference
have
beginnings?
Up.
I would just love if you could just crack us off a few bites of the Steve Spagnuolo
so
press conference.
So obviously we started out with this one.
Afternoon, I think, right? I'll just start out saying Happy New Year to everybody.
So that was today.
The second thing
That was today's Steve Spagnuolo.
Then we have...
He never totally knows what time it is.
This one.
God, I can say good morning. I just checked my watch.
Just check the watch.
It's always 11:50 to 12:10. It's always in that window.
I can say good morning.
Then we have this.
All right. Merry Christmas to everybody, or post-Merry Christmas. Looking forward to playing the Chargers here, division game.
Post-Christmas.
Yeah, he said that in August, by the way.
I'm gonna start calling everything post-whatever.
Post.
Oh, that's post-shower.
Post that'd be post-New Year.
Post- Teeth brushed. Post,
I got two more.
Please.
Morning or afternoon. Good morning.
Again, please.
Morning or afternoon. Good morning.
Does he not have... Maybe he doesn't have an internal monologue. That's a thing that people have sometimes.
Yeah. Or like no opening... He has no opening statement.
No. Just... He doesn't need to. Coordinators don't always. But he was a head coach, so he's got the thing.
Right.
And finally...
Okay, sun's coming out. That's a good thing. We were worried about the snow today. think we'll be inside. I'm not really sure. But at any rate, I don't really have much to add. I'm just going to open up and let y'all fly away.
Just perfect. I mean, I you know, Steve, I too was concerned. I hope, thank God the sun came out. Right there with you. Touche.
He is such a likable person, honestly. He should be a head coach.
Andy Reid just hires smart people.
Eric Bieniemy, I don't know.
Who have funny quirks to them.
I don't know about Eric Bieniemy, but Steve Spagnuolo should be a head coach. I got it.
Well, he does qualify in one specific area.
Super Bowl.
And that.
Do you want to play a ridiculous bad game that I debuted earlier today on the station?
Yeah, let's do it.
Beards, I want you to play also. You guys can compete again. How much time do we have here?
Just over a minute.
We don't have to hit SportsCenter. We'll make this quick, but you can let it fly.
Okay.
This is the pun name game that I was warning Beards about earlier.
Oh,
Beards is gonna find some music.
Yeah,
I figured
I'll make music.
He's gonna make something up real quick. Okay. They're always unique original compositions.
I wish you'd give me more warning.
I debuted this on the Zone earlier today as a part of Sports or Leisure, and I'm gonna give you a saying, a phrase, and there's going to be a combined phrase that will be the answer of this particular game. This is specific to the Houston Texans.
Okay.
Just
so the Texans.
Here's an easy one.
Hang on, music's almost ready.
I forgot about the music.
Okay, we're good now.
You made it?
Yep.
Ah, yes.
I need you guys to give me the name of this game. This is when Texans running backs want to get away from football and each other. They'd play this game where everyone attempts to stay concealed away from the one person who has to find the others. You can talk it out if necessary.
I know the answer.
Do you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Carlos hide and seek.
Boom!
Yes. Okay.
So that's the game.
Yes. That's the one I know.
Uh-huh.
That was the example.
Hide and seek, yes.
Carlos hide and seek. We're not sure if this guy's going to play on Sunday, but a particular Texan speedster shares a word with the title of a Netflix sitcom which adds even more occupants to a home that you were first introduced to in the late 80s.
So I should say Full and Will Fuller House?
Will Fuller House is
there
correct.
There we go. I was thinking, like, I've seen this on Netflix. Never clicked on it, but
neither.
I've seen it.
Do you guys remember how much energy it took to travel back in time and Back to the Future? It's going to take this much energy for the Texans' top pass rusher to overcome Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher this weekend.
It's 88, right?
It's 1.21 of this unit. What is the unit now?
J.J. Watts!
Oh, there it is.
1.21 J.J. Watts. Do you guys remember when Tre'Davious Ward picked off Deshaun Watson earlier this year when he was in coverage against the Texans' number one receiver?
Yes.
He cannibalized him. Speaking of, remember the name of the actor who played Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs?
D. Anthony Hopkins?
Yes.
Well, two thoughts I never wanted to have ever again. D. Anthony Hopkins and Cannibal Lecter. Wow.
I have one more. You should probably go to a doctor if you have this common inflammation of the pads of tissue at the back of your throat and are also the left tackle of the Houston Texans.
Gotta get those Laramie tonsils checked.
You may have Laramie tonsillitis. That's remarkably stupid at the end of the game. I'm going to make DP Sidhu, the Texans reporter, Texans TV, Texans radio. We'll talk to her next here, get the Texas perspective, and I am going to make her play this stupid game in her first and probably last appearance on this show. I can't imagine her ever returning. Hey, Nate, who wins this football game? You have 30 seconds.
Chiefs by at least 6. Could be more.
What about 9.5-ish? That sort of space.
I'm looking for a backside cover, but the Chiefs win.
If the Texans win, what happens? What's the one concern?
3 or more turnovers. Patrick Mahomes is sacked, maybe hurt, and
Bill O'Brien becomes Andy Reid.
Yeah, or Deshaun Watson continues to bounce off human beings flying at him at full speed.
It's Nate Taylor of The Athletic. You can hear him and me and Seth Kaiser tomorrow morning on Time Czars, only on The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter @ByNateTaylor. Thank you, Nate.
Thank you.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.